Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Passage of Scripture that is a very powerful, prophetic passage that really was part of those messianic prophecies that we read that foretells the coming of Christ. And here's another aspect of the coming of Christ that we see in Isaiah, as Isaiah begins to really prophesy what the Savior would do when that little baby in a manger grew up. And he says this in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, he says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." A great passage of redemption in this scripture here in Isaiah chapter 53. We see that God has made this supernatural redemptive provision for us through the suffering that Christ was going to experience on the cross. And as we look into this scripture, there's aspects of it that we've been kind of taught through the years solidly as far as, you know, transgressions, the forgiveness of our sins. I know that there's a reason why I have the forgiveness of sins, because he was wounded for my transgressions. I know that the blood that he had shed on the cross was for the forgiveness of my sins. I can see clearly here that, you know, the bruises, you know, was for my iniquities. You know, by his stripes, there is healing. Okay, and we all know that these are redemptive privileges. There's nothing on that list there that I can do apart from the finished work of Christ to earn any of these things. I could never earn a healing. I could never earn the forgiveness of sins. There's nothing that I could do in my own merit or strength that I said, okay, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. Now God owes me a healing, or God owes me forgiveness, or God, because I've done my merit, my good works, it's ridiculous. Everything is by grace through faith. Whether it's the forgiveness of sins or the healing of your body, it's all based on this transaction that took place on Calvary. It was a redemptive provision. And I just want to take a look a little closer at another one of these elements of this redemptive provision that we see here right in the middle of this passage, where it says in verse 5, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. That's an interesting aspect. You know, wounded for my transgressions, by his stripes as healed. I understand forgiveness and healing. But there was also another redemptive action that took place. There was a chastisement for my peace. And so in the same way that we see forgiveness and healing as redemptive provisions, nothing that we earn, but they've been provided for us through what Christ did, through the atonement on the cross, there's another redemptive provision sandwiched right in there. The chastisement for our peace. That peace is also by grace through faith. We can get into a works mentality with forgiveness, healing, or trying to get things, but also peace is a by grace through faith provision that God has provided through the cross. Now let's take a quick look at what chastisement means. Chastisement literally means to correct. To correct, discipline, rebuke, reprove, warn. Jesus, through this same event, not only bore the physical pain of the stripes, but he also bore chastisement. He bore of verbal abuse. He bore some things. These weren't physical blows, but they were blows. Come down from the cross. He saved others. He couldn't save himself. Tisk, tisk, tisk. I mean, people were really, these were chastising. These were belittling, berating. In fact, when the soldiers would blindfold him and beat him, they would say, prophesy. Who hit you? Which one of us hit you? Prophesy. They had to put a royal robe on him because, after all, he was a king, right? These were humiliating, horrible things that were attacks against his soul. Things that would cause, you know, as you think, by his stripes I'm healed. There was a redemptive provision in the physical stripes, but there was also a provision of peace that came through the chastising that he took. It's an amazing thing to think about. You know, when you look at and recount that story of Christ and the things that he went through, there's a word that we have for that. It's a good word to be aware of. It's a word called blasphemy, okay? You maybe hear those words, heresy, blasphemy. What's the difference? It's just all kind of bad stuff, right? Well, it is. But heresy is doctrinally bad. Heresy is actually a work of the flesh. Heresy is when you take Scripture and you actually spiritualize your flesh. You put Scripture together in such a way that relieves your flesh. You know, there's bad doctrines. That would be a heresy. It would be bad doctrine, inaccurate division of Scripture. That really is not inspired by the Spirit, but it's inspired by your flesh. And that's what Jesus said in the last days. People have itching ears who will, according to their desires, heap to themselves teachers, all right? So you can have kind of desire-oriented doctrine even. And that's what we would call heresy. It's a work of the flesh. You don't try to be heresiutical or anything like that. It's just you're in the flesh. You don't realize you're in the flesh. And you're actually using the Scripture in such a way to make provision for the flesh, all right? That's heresy. But there's another thing called blasphemy. And so that's really done many times more often by people who don't know God. They'll take the sacred things that you know that are precious, even spiritual realities, and they'll just plaster them like some joke. You know, belittle them, berate them, mock them. Oh, it's in the Bible that says that, or mocking the Bible, mocking that. That's garden variety blasphemy. You don't have to be intimidated by that. That was something Jesus went through. It's something that we go through too. You know, the spirit of this world is even ratcheting up what we would just call blasphemy. It's where you take sacred spiritual things and you just, you know, kind of make light of them or make a joke of them or, you know, intimidate people. You're really kind of intellectually inferior. You're dumb, whatever. You believe the Bible. It can be a condescending type thing. And so Jesus endured heresy. He endured blasphemy, things like that. But these were attacks against his soul. And again, in the same way, there was a redemptive provision that came through the physical striking of his body. There was a redemptive provision, if you will, of peace. So when Jesus bore the blasphemy, he bore the chastisement. He was not just bearing it for himself. He was bearing it redemptively in a way that provided a supernatural redemptive provision of peace. This is what I want to get across this morning. And this is one of those messages that I need to hear. Ed House needs to hear over and over and over again. You know, there's some things that you hear that are kind of like, it's almost like an oil change for your car. You know, you may have changed your oil in your car, and that's great, but, you know, hopefully that's not the last time you're going to change your oil. You're going to be going every few months and get refreshed and on things. And there's just something about the peace of God. You know, the peace of God is the thing it is like oil to your walk. You know, if your oil isn't right or your oil's low, the engine begins to overheat and things begin to grind and melt. And if the peace level in your life is low, your life can begin to overheat and relationships and situations begin to grind and, you know, melt and chaos. And we need to know and walk in the peace of God and to realize this peace, right alongside of healing and forgiveness, is a redemptive provision. Am I waiting for anything else to happen before I can receive the forgiveness of sins? Is there something else I need to line up before I can receive forgiveness? Nope. There's nothing that I'm waiting on. Is there anything else that I'm waiting on for healing or provisions of God that he's made the provision. And again, here, like I said, I'm preaching to myself. If you see me looking down at the first row, that's like me in the first row. I'm preaching to me this morning. Because these are things that are easy to lose sight of sometimes when it comes to peace. You know, I know forgiveness is by grace through faith. Peace is by grace through faith. It's amazing how we can be waiting for things to land before I can finally have peace. Nope, peace is a now thing. It's now. Peace is right now in every area of your life. Why? The provision was made for it already. There was a chastisement for your peace. That peace is not something you merit. I dotted my I's, I crossed my T's. I have supernatural peace now. No. If you have supernatural peace, it's by grace through faith. It's a gift of God that was part of this atonement. There are things that I do to obtain and enjoy the forgiveness. It's very, you know, faith stuff that I do. But I'll tell you, it's a supernatural forgiveness. This is a supernatural peace. So this morning, we're going to look at the peace of God in our lives in a very specific way in different areas of our life. And the message this morning is simply called, Give Peace a Chance. All right? All I'm saying is just give peace a chance. And it's amazing how many times in my life I've been in situations where it's like the Holy Ghost is saying, hey, you don't have to work through something here. Just give peace a chance. Give peace. There are so many tremendous provisions in the Word of God for the peace of God. And so we're going to look at this morning, give peace a chance. And as we do, we're going to look at it from a few different aspects in our life, okay? Give peace a chance. And we're going to first start off by simply talking about giving peace a chance. Give peace a chance with God. All right? There are things that happen in our life that we don't always understand. We hit the why God questions. We have things happen. But there is an aspect where we've got to realize we need to give peace a chance with God. Not only things that happen to us, but things that we do. You know? The Bible says, lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset you. You know, you may have been able to set them aside early on in your Christian walk and praise God and realize that he forgives you, but you're still dealing with things, you're still overcoming things. And sometimes we can forget the peace of God that was provided for us, again, through the cross, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Colossians puts it this way, for it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Praise God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace by which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know, that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's really what made peace between us and God. It took away our sin. It took away all accusation. It took away all offense and through the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a peace that we have with God because of that blood, because of the blood of his cross, as the Apostle Paul puts it. And so, again, here we can come into a situation where is it relates to my relationship with God, I'm kind of waiting to do some things. You know, if somebody who didn't know God were to come to you and say, man, I really want to know God, but here's the deal. I'm gonna get some things in my life cleaned up, and then I'm going to receive Christ. I'm going to get my life cleaned up, then I'm going to start coming to church. I'm going to get myself right, and then I'm going to, you know, make a decision. Well, we would all say you've got it backwards, right? Say, no, you don't clean yourself up and then come to Christ. You come to Christ, and then he helps clean you up. We could all preach the sermon. But like I said, we got to preach it to ourselves sometimes. That doesn't only apply to the unbeliever. It applies to us believers, too, who can be struggling with those weights and the sins that so easily beset you. And you think, I'm going to get this cleaned up, and then I'm going to have a sweet fellowship, intimate walk with God again. No, all you could do is repent. That's the only thing you could do, is you could turn. That's all you can do. In fact, you can't do anything in your own strength. Everything that you do is through Christ who strengthens you. And so as we're talking about peace with God, as it comes to our own life, and as we're trying to work some things out, we got to realize that, man, it doesn't, you know, God's love for us just hasn't changed a bit. I remember just kind of driving to work one day, you know, back when I was in high school, and just feeling guilty about something that I did and just not feeling forgiven, you know. And the Lord just bringing a picture to my mind of Christ on the cross in the suffering and the blood and everything that he went through. And just the Spirit of God saying, it was good enough. It was good enough. It was good enough. And it was like, okay, I'm not going to try to conjure up a feeling of forgiveness anymore. I see something. It was good enough. You see, I have access, right here it says, through whom also we have access by faith into that grace. I don't have access because I had a good day or a bad day. Whether I had a good day or a bad day has nothing to do with my access. My access is through faith in what Christ did for me. My access to that grace is because of his grace, because of what he did for me. I believe in what he did through Jesus Christ. I'm justified through him, not through my good works. Again, we can slip into this as believers, and we got to take ourselves and go, okay, praise God. Because what will happen, this is what will happen. You're living for God, and you get victory, and you overcome some things, and you're going good for a while, and then maybe something happens, and you yield. And then all of a sudden, we begin to almost unconsciously begin to attach God's love and God's favor for us with our good day or our bad day. And we have access through faith. And so as a believer, again, we're reminded that we have peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in what he did for us. Here's a passage of scripture that I so love because it really brings us back almost to our first love. John says, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. In verse 16, he's saying, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. And that's really where, you know, the scripture takes us back to. It takes us back to believing and seeing, man, God loves me. If you can just stop and think in your life right now, whatever that moment in time was in your life, when it really just struck you, God's unconditional agape, whatever you want to call it, love, that he had that for you. You know, you might have been in a crisis situation. It might have been just in your by yourself in a little secret place time or whatever you're having, but somewhere in your heart where it just dawned on you, wow, God really loves me. I mean, those places can be so overwhelming at times when it really strikes your heart. All you can respond is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you too. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I've had the Holy Spirit take me back to some of those moments in time where I've experienced that and say this, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. He absolutely loves you. He is absolutely for you. Praise God. I thank God for consecration, for growing, for putting to death the deeds of the body. But while I was a sinner, he loved me. And with everything I overcome in my life doesn't make him love me more. He loves me with an everlasting love right now. Praise God. There is a revelation that we need to get of that. There is a pride of man, the same pride that will keep people out of the kingdom of heaven because they can't receive the free gift of eternal life, can also keep us from growing up spiritually because we want to earn things. But when we begin to lay it down and say, this is love, this is grace, it's by grace from beginning to end. And when you do overcome things in your life, boy, your spirit's right. You're saying, thank you, Lord, for the love of God that helped me through again. The grace, the love of God. It is by grace through faith. This is the way the Lord, you know, describes it In Hebrews it says, for we do not, the Hebrew writer I should say, for we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I love that. You know, he says, therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of victory. No, in times of need. I'm coming boldly in a time of need. Boldly need, right? We're bold when we're victorious. We're bold when we had that. We did it right. But he's saying bold when you need mercy. Bold when you have need. We have to renew our minds as believers to not just connect that unmerited grace, agape love, to our good days, but every day we can have peace with God. Not because I had a good, because that I did everything right. He loves me. The throne of grace is there. It's there on my good days. It's there on my bad days. My access is by faith through what Jesus did for me. Again, I'm preaching to myself down there this morning. These are things that we need to be continually reminded of by grace through faith. It's humbling. It's good that it's humbling. He gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. These truths are humbling. And these truths, as you realize and experience the grace of God again, it doesn't cause you to want to sin more, not at all. The grace of God. Why is that? Well, you know, see, people say that. Well, it doesn't cause you to want to sin more. Because when you come back, you experience something that's bigger than sinning or not sinning. Fellowship is what you experience. You know what really keeps you connected to live for God? Fellowship with God. When you begin talking to God and you begin to express your heart and you begin to hear things and you pick up things in your spirit and you are dialoguing, you're getting things with God, that's fellowship. That throne of grace represents a place of fellowship where you're expressing and you're receiving. Receiving grace to help. Receiving the things that you need. So both, there's an exchange that goes on. Sometimes, again, people kind of play, well, if I, your fellowship with God is the number one thing that motivates you to want to live for God. When you're walking in fellowship and you know you're walking in fellowship with God. Doesn't mean you know you're not perfect, but you know you're connected. You know you're talking again. I've had that happen once where, you know, sometimes people will do things to you that can hurt you and make you mad and offend you. And all of a sudden, we take it out on God and stop talking to him. You know, why did you let this happen? I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And I remember the Lord just kind of interrupting me. I was just kind of walking around and said, Lord, you know, I was just mad or something. And the Lord said, Ed, did I do something? I said, well, no, you didn't do anything. You know, no, you didn't do anything. You see, the problem with people is that they're just like you. They have flesh and they yield to it sometimes. But God wasn't in it when you did it. And God wasn't in it when they did it to you. That takes a real revelation sometimes. But we can have peace with God even when people aren't right toward us. But we gotta stay in that place here, this place of fellowship. This is where, you know, we talk about Christmas and Jesus identifying with us. I love the Amplified, the way it puts it. For we don't have a high priest who's unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. I just love that connection, you know, that amplified connection. So as I'm coming before the throne of grace, we see he's sympathetic, he's understanding, he gets it. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, which means he experienced the human condition. He experienced the temptation. So as we're coming before him, he wants us to know from the scripture, he understands that pull. He understands that temptation and the frustration there. So what is it saying? He's a safe place. I can have peace with God. In my good days, my bad days, it doesn't matter. That peace is a redemptive provision that was paid for me at Calvary. Thank God for it. There's nothing that I'm going to do to earn it or merit it like anything else. It would be absurd to say I'm going to earn a healing or earn a forgiveness. Well, you're not going to earn a peace either. You're just going to come boldly, humble yourself, and there's going to be grace to help. He gives his grace to the humble. When you turn and realize, I can't, I just can't, okay, you're in a position to just humble yourself and receive the grace that you need to help. As I'm doing this, there's some few scriptures I just like to throw at this place in God that the scripture paints, I think, a beautiful picture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He's the one who restores my soul. He's not nitpicking critically. He leads me into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I like to call these green pastures, this is like God's couch, all right? Where God is going to make you lie down on his couch. But his couch is the green pastures, and it's the still waters, and he's the one who loves you and cares for you. When you realize this and you see this picture of God, it helps us. It helps us to lie down. Helps us to come boldly before the throne of grace. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is that another lie down scripture. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. In other words, he's saying, I'm a safe place. Good days, bad days, peace with God. We can give peace a chance with God. Give peace. Come to the throne of grace. I know you feel yuck, but still, come boldly to the throne of grace and give peace a chance. Just begin to talk some stuff out. You'll be amazed. Even when it comes to just different things, I mean, you might be there and you might just mouth the words of forgiveness, thinking, wow, I can't even believe I'm even saying this. But you, even as you mouth the words by faith, you will sense peace and grace as you do things by faith. Just because you know, I mean, there's amazing things that take, you just got to come. You just got to give that grace, that peace, a chance as you come boldly before the throne of grace. One of the songs I so love, I kind of think of this song. It's just kind of a popular old chorus, but it simply says, Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close. Let your love surround me. Bring me near. Draw me to your side. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle. And I'll soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes. Let me see you face to face. The knowledge of your love as you live in me. Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day by the power of your love. That's a beautiful place. The peace of God isn't about fixing everything so you can have peace again. It's just about getting back in fellowship with him again. Because through him I can do all things. So I just got to get back in fellowship with him. Praise God. So giving peace a chance starts with God. Of course, it doesn't stop there, but as we're going on with giving peace a chance, there's also a giving peace a chance with people that we also realize from the Word of God. So clearly, in Romans 4:14-17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but it's in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Let us therefore pursue the things which make for peace and the things which by which one may edify one another. Now, as you look at this passage of Scripture, we see clearly in verse 19 that we are to pursue the things which make for peace, right? But, I do a whole message on that Romans chapter 14. It's just called convictions. In other words, really that whole chapter is kind of talking about a theological love walk as you're walking with your brother in Christ and, you know, being able to understand, you know, their big hot button topic of the day as you read through Romans chapter 14 was meat offered to idols, okay? You know, the Apostle Paul knew that, you know, meat offered to idols really didn't matter. It's meat. Meat is meat. You know, you're righteous by the blood. But you had some people, you know, back in that day who, you know, they're in the temple. They're doing their kind of their whatever lewd practices and things like that, you know, with that meat and somehow in connection with the worship. And then next week, the Apostle Paul comes to Corinth and they're standing out in the street. They hear this guy preach and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reveals their sinful condition. And, oh, I need Jesus, and they call upon the name of the Lord, and they're saved, and they're born again, and now they're connected, and they have fellowship with God, and they look back on that old life, and it's like, oh, it's, you know, I'm not wanting anything to do with it. You know, and so a person like that, you know, now, who just the following week got saved, they go to the marketplace and they see that meat offered to idols. It conjures up a whole thing in their heart and mind of where that meat has been and the significance, and they want nothing to do with it. You know, and they don't want, you know, because it for them, it's there's such an identification with their past. But for other, you know, they come along and, you know, it's just meat offered to idols. Meat is meat. You know, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. Come on, what's the big deal? Get over it. And pretty soon there would be strife in the church over stuff like this. And the Apostle Paul was saying, look, yes, you're right. The meat doesn't really matter one way or the other, technically. But if that's something that's really troublesome to your brother's conscience, you know, because they've got their own past and things that they've come out of, be sensitive to that, you know. If you're going to have a meal, don't have it with meat offered to idols, okay? Don't put that stumbling block in front of them. He calls that would be a weaker brother. But at the same, just because they're weaker doesn't mean you condemn them for being weak. You still walk in love and grace and, you know, help, because people are going to grow. You've grown, right? You didn't just start out where you are. It took some years, and we're to be part of that agent of growth as well, too, you know, to in our brother's life. And so we're not necessarily, you know, bringing down, we're giving people some room to grow. Really, when you look at that Romans 14, that's kind of what it's talking about. So when he says, let us pursue the things which make for peace and things by which one may edify one another, you know, you're looking at a person and you're seeing, okay, Holy Spirit, what can I say to build them up? What can I say to bring them higher? You know what I mean? And, you know, and to minister to them, you know, life and encourage. You see, it's the truth in love that causes us to grow, right? Truth without love is gone, gone, clang, clang. You're right, but people can't hear you. But there's something about truth and love that causes us to grow, right? And we, that same truth and love that has caused us to see things is the same agent that we have with other people. So we're talking about, you know, that we can give peace a chance with people. You're going to see people, too, and we're going to start here with maybe with believers that don't exactly, you know, aren't every step in hook, line, doctrinally. But you know what? I've learned and I glean a lot from people from different camps and denominations where Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians, said one of the things they had to do with that was that sectarian spirit. One of them said, well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. And we can bullet point through our favorite theologians today and do the same thing too. But what did the Apostle Paul say? He said, no. He said, all things are yours, all right? And you are Christ and Christ is God's, all right? So it is fine as we begin to look and glean and receive some things from people that, you know, from different camps of faith that might be strong in some areas, that's great. That's awesome. You know, my loyalty is to the truth anyway. It's not to a person. It's to the truth of God's word. And I have the freedom, like a good Berean, to search the scriptures and see if things are so or not. You know, that's my privilege. But as we see from the scripture, the Apostle Paul was saying, let us pursue things that bring for peace. You know, and so as I'm looking at my brother in the Lord, or, you know, that might have a little bit of a difference in some doctrine, you know, let's not try to, you know, have to go after it and cause a bunch of strife. Let's just, you know, connect where we can connect. And if the God shows me some things, that's awesome. That's great. You know, but that's really our heart, our attitude. As we look forward, here's another scripture in Colossians. It says, therefore is the elect of God, that's us, the elect of God, holy and beloved, praise God, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, you know, meek one another. Anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We're talking about peace, a chance with people. Again, it's not going to be about them lining up or they're coming to my side. Once they doctrinally agree, then I'm going to have peace with them. You know, we can have that supernatural peace with people through the love of God. The same love that gives us peace with God is the same love in us that'll give us peace with people. And really, when we begin to act like this with people, man, this is the stuff that will cause peace to come. But you'll notice this. Again, I read the scripture sometimes, and I'm thinking, man, is the elect of God? Okay, I love that elect of God stuff when I want to know who I am in him. And I want to know my authority. I want to know my righteousness. Yeah, okay, you know your authority. You know your righteousness. You're the elect of God. Here's something else. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility. It's like, could we just stop right there? No. Meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. Boy, there's no wiggle room here, is there? You just can't kind of gloss over this one. He says it's seven different aspects of putting on. And then he says, if anyone, boy, there's no loophole there. has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. These are things that make, and it's not getting them to line up, come to our way of thinking and all that. It's love. It's when we, by faith, begin to walk in love. And when I can look at a person, and you know, there may be a person that just doesn't like me. There may be a person that no matter what I say, no matter what I do, I'm wrong. No matter what you say, I mean, it's, you might find that you got some people in your life like that. And it's like, if every move I try to make, it's checkmate. Because even if I try to do something good, they're going to take it wrong, and they're going to spin it, and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All right? So we get in those situations. And so this is one thing that I can do as the elect of God. I'm going to say, okay, Lord, here's the deal. I'm going to love them. I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to be kind. And I know one thing, that no matter what happens, you know, and forgive them on purpose, forgive them. No matter what they do, no matter how they come back at me, I know one thing, Lord, I love them and I forgive them and my heart and my motive is right. And if I know that, I have peace. I have peace with God. I have peace with people because of walking in love toward people. I know that in my heart toward God, I've done what God's told me to do. I don't have to satisfy them to have peace with them. I just have to walk in love according to God's word to have peace with them. It's the same peace. It's the same grace. Having peace with people, again, is whether it's doctrinally or getting them to say they're sorry for what they did wrong to you. It's ultimately just, it's saying, okay, God, I'm doing my part. I'm forgiving, even as you and Christ have forgiven. And again, this is all connected, isn't it, to fellowship. It's connected to that first point. And that's why that first point is so vital. Because when you're coming boldly before the throne of grace, you bring this stuff there. And then it's where it's like, okay, all right, well, praise God. I've got peace. I've got peace because of that. I love what, you know, here's what Jesus said. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And we talk about peace a lot. Again, give peace a chance. You know, these slogans, make peace, you know, not war, something like that. But you know what I'm saying? It's the slogans, the 60s, the hippies, and all that kind of stuff. And we just kind of think, you know, there is a, God loves peace. Did you know that? In fact, the Bible says that pray for those who are in authority. Pray for all those who are in authority that we may have peace so that we can preach the gospel. For God's willing that none should perish. It's 1 Timothy chapter 2. For God's willing that none should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. You know, God likes peace on earth. He likes that. Yes, are there times for war? Are there times for defense? Absolutely, there certainly are. But you know what? Peace is a good thing. Peace is a really good thing when we can live peaceably with men. And blessed are the peacemakers, okay? So we see the extreme, like I said, about kind of the anti-war at all costs. It'd be great if we were in heaven. That would be the case. We're not in heaven. We're on a demon-infested planet right now that has fallen flesh that me and you have, you know, and that there's a Satan loose, okay? So there are going to be times in a national, we enjoy the freedom of the United States of America because there was a revolutionary war. There was a time to be held to this tyranny. And when that tyranny becomes, then, the government is no longer, there was a time that they had to rise up, and we enjoy freedoms today. Because of that, okay? So I'm saying that. But let's understand, peace is a good, good thing. People can kind of go to the extreme where you're kind of warmongering. No way. Thank God for peace. Thank God for the peace of God. But there's a peacemaker, too, that transcends that political realm. And there's a whole lot of peacemaking that is outside of our political realms of what we call wars. And that's the peacemaking that just goes on in our lives every day. Peace. Are you for peace? All right, we'll prove it. Prove it in your relationships. Prove it in your relationships with people. Prove it in your relationship with God to where I'm going to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do what you've called me to do. Romans puts it this way, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Boy, there's a tremendous promise in that scripture. You know, some people can look, and there's a promise in that, isn't there? You can overcome evil with good, apparently. Takes faith, though. Do you know you can just be good, consistently forgiving, and you can watch a person's heart change over time toward you? Got some of those stories too, where a person's going, wow, praise God. This person's really for real. I thought it was just some phony thing they're putting on, but here they are, 5 years later, 10 years later. Still got that little glazed over look in their eye, their love for Jesus. And pretty soon, people start to be won over. They're won over when you're overcoming evil with good. So good has an overcoming effect, doesn't it? Regardless of what they say to your face, there's something going on behind the scenes that happens with love. They're talking about peace, giving peace a chance with people. Philippians, these are just a couple scriptures. New Testament admonitions, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Boy, this is a peaceful life right here. And this takes faith, and this is a renewing of our mind. Like I said, I'm right down. These are things, praise God, that'll make for your peace as you begin to look outside yourself. Isn't that amazing? You know, there's two focuses. What the Bible calls self-seeking. That's when you're magnifying on yourself. And you know, if you had a television set, it would be you on every channel. Be the me channel. All right? But there's also another kind of seeking, too, where it says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And I'm by faith. I'm not waiting until I get myself fixed to be nice to people. I'm just going to, by faith, take my eyes off my own deals, see a need in somebody, and just not wait till I'm fixed all up, but just by faith, go ahead and take care of something. Maybe it's just speaking a kind word. Maybe it's just doing something outside yourself. And you just find yourself delivered from yourself. It delivers you from self-seeking. You know, it gets you out, and there's peace in that. It's like, wow, that's what I'm down here for. Oh, yeah, I'm down here. This is cool. That felt really good. That was right. There was something good about that. Yeah, that's why we're here. Praise God. We're down here, praise God, to show this kind of love. But there's a peace that comes through it. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling by which you were called in lowliness and gentleness. That kind of sounds a lot like Jesus. In lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ah, that's good. That's good. There's an enemy that is endeavoring to break the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is an enemy that's out there to show a divided, hateful, fractured body of Christ to this world. And we have to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I mean, Paul got so extreme. He said, man, I don't care if somebody defrauds you. Don't go to court before the unbelievers. Be defrauded. Forgive them and go forward. I mean, that's like, wow. What's he showing? That there's a battle going on here for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace as our example to this world. He's saying, keep it. Do your part to keep it. You know, forgive where you need to forgive, but don't be instigating the strife and the division. You know, do your part. Keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Praise God. You know, I found out that too. Let me just say some things as a preacher, maybe. Maybe not, I don't know. But just theologically. When you see that somebody's off theologically, I found that I don't have to be the prophetic gatekeeper to fix the body of Christ for everybody who's off theologically, who doesn't see it exactly my way. But that God is a big God and he can take care of people too. And I don't have to put that burden on myself. Because ultimately, he's going to do it. If somebody's so into the flesh, they're going to have the flesh reap corruption, whether you forgive them or not. They've put spiritual laws into motion. I mean, you could pray for them, pray and intercede for them to stay judgment. But when people are really off, they're really going to reap when they're really off. And that has nothing to do with you. It has to do with God. And I'm just saying, when you kind of begin to look at some of this thing, you know, the Spirit, say, praise God, Lord, pray for people. Lord, they're yours. You know, you judge them. You take, you know, lead them, guide them, show them light. But it's like, okay, I'm going to do my part to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace and go forward. We're talking about peace, giving peace a chance with people. And then finally, with yourself, letting the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God, operative word here is let, okay, let the peace of God, it's there. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ's rule, acting as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind in that peaceful state, to which as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. So we see here, the peace of God, as it relates to ourself, has a lot to do with us simply letting that peace rule. You have a decision to choose peace or to worry or to be in strife or to be, you got to understand those works of the flesh, they're as addictive as nicotine and alcohol. You understand? It takes faith to let the peace of God rule in your heart. All right, here's another great let scripture. John, this is Jesus saying, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Apparently, again, Jesus is indicating that we've got a choice here. Amplified really amplifies this well. Peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Here we go. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. All right? That's the choice that we've got. But it's cool to just know that, hey, we got a choice. I don't have to go down this path. It may be a pattern of thought I've had for 30 years, but I still got a choice. I can either let the peace rule or not let it rule. But letting the peace of God rule with myself, it's there. And how do we do that? Ultimately, there's really two aspects, two avenues that we really are allowed to live in that peace. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If I'm going to let the peace of God rule, there's something else I need to do. I got to let the request be made known unto God. This time of year, you got a billion things going on. Bill, you got a lot of stuff going on. You're making your rounds, you know, Christmas and family and all that stuff. And a lot of times, we'll have our list, you know. And as long as it's in our head, we're overwhelmed. But when we write it down on that list, it's like, oh, it's about getting your to-do list out of your head and onto a sheet of paper. It's a little less intimidating when you look at that sheet of paper. You know, then you can begin a strategy to knock things off. A lot of times it's that same way, too, with anxieties and things like that. You know, I don't let it stay in my head. I'm not necessarily writing it down on a piece of paper, but I'm letting, you could, you know, if you want to have a prayer journal, but you're letting your request be made known unto God. It's what we'd call casting your cares upon the Lord, because he cares for you. And then what happens? There's the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's a supernatural thing. It's guarding your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is the redemptive, chastised, paid-for peace of God that belongs to us through the atoning work of Christ on the cross. It's a peace that surpasses our understanding. That is exactly the opposite of the world. If you think of a train in the world's mentality, the way the world gives peace, Jesus was saying this is not a worldly peace. In the worldly peace, understanding is the engine. All right? As long as I've got understanding, the cars tag along. The peace tags along because I know and I understand. In God's choo-choo train, the peace is the engine. The peace goes out ahead. It surpasses, and your understanding tags along. But the peace is the engine. I don't know, I don't understand, yet I have peace. You can actually be surprised at yourself sometimes for having peace. You think, wow, man, according to my calculations, I should be really mad right now. But I just got this peace. Yeah. It's a supernatural peace, passes your understanding. And all I did, did I work to get that off? Just let my request be made known unto God by grace through faith. How did I get forgiven? Just come boldly before the throne of grace. Let your request be made known. What am I talking about? I'm talking about giving peace a chance in my own life, in your own life. Give peace a chance. You got to realize that we can come before God with whatever that anxiety is and say, hey, praise God, this is included. Be anxious for nothing. In the same way, there's no wiggle room regarding the forgiveness. If anyone has a complaint against another, there's no wiggle room there. If you're anxious, be anxious for nothing. Okay, that means the forgiveness issue that I have is covered in Colossians. The same anxiety issue that I have here is covered in Philippians. Be anxious for nothing. That includes my Ed House's anxiety. Then I'm going to let that. Don't feel condemned for having an anxiety. My goodness, you live in fallen flesh in a demon-infested world, cursed planet. Yeah, Jesus said you're going to have tribulation down here. Don't feel beat up or condemned. That's, you know, Jesus actually experienced that very suffering, you know. But what do we say? and everything, let your request be made known unto God. That's the, again, connects back up to God, doesn't it? The green pastures, the still waters. I'm letting, and then there's a peace. And then he goes, here's the kind of the follow through. Finally, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, meditate on these things, okay? That's the follow-up to this. I don't start here. Sometimes people start here and think, I just want to think happy thoughts. Happy, 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 happy. No. If you've got an anxiety thing, first things first, let that request be made known unto God. You understand? If I've got things in my mind, you know, I got this to-do list in my head, I don't need to just go watch some TV to feel better and distract me from it. No, I need to write it down. I need to deal with some things. And that's what we're doing here. You're dealing with things. Christianity is dealing with things. But I'm not doing the work myself. I'm letting my request, but I'm dealing with it. I'm doing something with it. I'm letting it be made known unto God. Now, after I've done that, God knew that after you prayed that prayer, after you experienced that peace, there would be temptation coming against your mind. So he said, finally, the things that are true, noble, just, as I'm doing it. I don't start here, but I do follow through here. This is the follow through to my prayer. Now I'm protecting that request. I'm saying, no, Lord, you have it. This is, Satan wants to boomerang it. You've got to cast your care on the Lord, and he knew that Satan would want to boomerang it back on you. But you cast your care on the Lord, and the way you keep it there is verse 8. Keeping those things that are true and honest and just. What about this? I've let my request be made known to the Lord. And this is what I like to say. Lord, show me what I need to know. Reveal it to me by your Spirit. You said the Holy Spirit would show me things to come. So I'm going to keep looking unto you, Jesus. I'm not going to look back and try to figure it out in my own strength. I've been down it. I've tried to figure it out. But I'm asking you for the wisdom to reveal it to me. And in the meantime, I've got a peace that passes my understanding. It's keeping my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. That's the purpose of the peace. So that I can think on those things. Really what it's doing, it's keeping you tuned into God. So that when he keeps you tuned into that station spiritually. So when God speaks to you, you have ears to hear. Because your mind is in the right place. Then he goes on to say, this is profound too. Paul says, the things that you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's a powerful statement too. The Apostle Paul walked the walk. And he said, look at my example. Look at the example of my life. He said, the things, emulate that. You know, isn't it cool when you see people that have really walked some things out and they've got some, I think of examples in my life of people that I can see that have overcome things. And I think, praise God, it really works. You really can overcome in your life. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Look, emulate those things. Trust. You've seen me. Think on those things when I've been tempted, but I'm keeping my heart and my mind in the right place. Emulate that. Practice that. And the God of peace will be with you. So he's saying, do the things that I'm doing. Then finally, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing causes them to stumble. Blessed is the man. This is the Psalm 1 guy. Again, the other avenue of peace is not just prayer, but it's going to be the word. There is something about going to this word of God that brings peace. The word brings peace. When you begin to go to the word and begin to meditate and begin to read this word, the author of the word is the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden, sometimes it can bring back to your remembrance, oh yeah, that's right. Oh yeah, that's the way God thinks. That's the way he is. And it'll connect you in your walk with him and fellowship with him. But here's the word, blesses the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the path of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. As he meditates in it day and night, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. There is a powerful connection with just the word. You just by faith falling in love with the word of God that will change everything. Romans says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject, and it can't be. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When you read the word, it causes you to become spiritually minded because these are God's words. And there's a peace that just comes from reading the word of God. You know, you can almost inerrantly think, oh, I've done my good job for today. I read the word. God's glad with me that I read the word, and I feel good. I'm proud of myself for reading the word. And maybe that's why I'm feeling so good. Well, really, no. The word feeds your spirit. The word is life to your spirit. That's why you feel so good. You've misinterpreted your own victory. The good feeling that you get from spending isn't God doing this on your head. No, it's you taking spiritual food and feeding your spirit, and your spirit going, yum, 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 that feels really good. That's the proper one, because it's food to your spirit. This word just nourishes. It strengthens you. It's spirit words to your spirit being, and the Holy Ghost is the amen corner in you, saying, yeah, amen, 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 amen. And it awakens something in you, awakens the life and the spirit of God in you. But giving peace a chance, a big part of it, man, it's just going, getting to the word of God. Praise God. Isaiah, I'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is just stayed on you, because he's the one who really trusts in you. You know, it seems so simple. Oh, keep your mind on spiritual things. What's the big deal about that? Well, you know, it's a deal. It takes faith to do that. That's what we've been talking about. But when you do, there's a peace that comes. And Isaiah Amplified, I'll guard, keep perfect, constant peace, whose mind is standing, both its inclination and its character is standing you, because he commits himself to you. He leans on you. He hopes confidently in you. So trust in the Lord. Commit yourself to him. Lean on him. Hope confidently in him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. So praise God. Giving peace a chance. We give peace a chance with God, the things that we're going through, stuff that happens, stuff that we've done, you know, whether it's, you know, things we don't understand or things that we've done. Thank God there's a throne of grace. There, I'd like to say, God's couch of the green pastures of the throne of grace to come boldly to find help when you need it. Not boldly when you're just all victorious. You should always be there, granted, but it's boldly when you need help. You need help and you're still bold. Praise God. So I'm not waiting for things to line up to have peace. I'm coming boldly for peace. I'm getting that grace to help, to strengthen. Also, peace, giving peace a chance with people. Praise God. I mean, the way I get peace with people really is doing what God told me to do. Once I've done what God, and I want them, and I'm praying for them, I want things restored. But as long as I know that I've done, you know what? The Holy Ghost will bear witness with your spirit. Not only that you're a child of God when you're born again, but the Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit that you are walking in love towards somebody. He'll bear witness with your spirit that you have forgiven. The Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are off the hook as it relates to the way people might respond to you. You have no control over how people respond to you, but you can control what you can control, and that is to walk in love toward people. That's what you can do. And when that happens, you are off the hook. God, the enemy will try to keep you on the hook, but that's where you got to go to the Word, not your feelings. You got to go to the Word and say, Lord, I've done what you've told me to do. If there's anything else I should do, show me. But my heart is clear in this matter. Having peace with yourself. Letting the peace of God rule. It's there. There's a choice that we can make. Letting it rule by letting our requests be made known unto God. And then follow through with those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. In other words, as you let that request be made known, there could be two outcomes. Really bad one or a really good one. You're going to meditate on the really good one. Pure, honest, just, good things. And there's healing. There's healing in that. I'm just going to close with another song, hymn, spiritual song, whatever you want to call it, and then we'll close with the word of prayer. The song goes like this. It says, seasons of my soul, they come, they go. But as they slip away, I know something else remains that will not change. Places in my heart torn apart, but in my brokenness I find something that stays behind that will not change. A peace that passes understanding is a blessing that will never fade away. And it is a blessing. The peace that passes understanding is here to stay. The peace that passes understanding never passes away. Lord, in times alone, my heart has known the quiet words of your tender love and your gentle touch that changes me. Even through the storm, I'm safe, I'm warm, for you have covered me with grace. In your hiding place, I'm at peace. Peace comes like the dawn. Peace like the world can't understand. You take my hand and I stand though others may fall. It's the peace that passes understanding, a blessing that will never fade away. Peace that passes understanding is here to stay. And Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for that peace. And Lord, as we hear those political chants of saying give peace a chance, we hear the Holy Spirit promptings in our hearts this morning of our giving peace a chance. With you, Lord, the first and foremost important thing is having peace with you. Jesus died on that cross simply so that we could have peace with you. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they lost their peace with you. But by one man's righteousness act, many have become righteous. And we have peace with you. through that righteousness. We thank you, Jesus, for peace. I pray for each one here. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Lord Jesus, you are my peace. I thank you for the throne of grace. I come boldly today to obtain mercy, to find grace to help in my time of need. Peace is now. Your peace for me is now. I receive peace. I receive grace. And Lord Jesus, with people, there is peace in obeying your word, in loving them, putting on gracious behavior, and forgiving them even as you've forgiven me. And as I walk in love and do what I know to do, I get peace in that relationship. I don't need it from the person. I need it from you. And my prayer is that I'll have it from the person too. But I need it from you. And I will give peace a chance in that particular relationship. I will do what I'm to do. And I will have peace. And I thank you, Father, that there is grace in my life, my circumstances, the temptations that assault my mind, the anxieties that come against me. There is a choice. I can let your peace rule by letting my request be made known and by faith receiving the supernatural peace. It's the engine of my life. Not my understanding, but your peace. My understanding comes later. As I'm thinking on those good things, spiritual things that cause life and peace. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well.